Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Up All Night, a horror anthology podcast. My name is Cortland, and with me is a guy with all the electricity, the Santa impersonator. He just loves dying, that straight-up trifling bitch. He's the axe-wielding pet collector, the man who's always dancing to Cheek to Cheek, directed by Arnold Schwarzenegger, the chop-poker-playing, voodoo-casting, cabin-vacationing, blind woman, pendant-snatching, back-licking, rock-and-roll-listening, scarecrow-lover. The one who lies about his ventriloquist abilities. He loves gaudy jewelry at the funeral home and roaming around abandoned factories and freak shows from the 20s. He's always got that needle ready while he's watching a live reality TV with his Siamese brother, the man with all the secrets. It's Brandon! How you doing, Brandon?
I'm doing all right.
Okay, I think that was all the episodes, right? That's probably all right.
It's gotta be.
Oh, there's no fucking
wow, funny. Two whole seasons worth of fantastic descriptions of myself.
I know. You know what, Brandon? I couldn't resist. My favorite is still that you are a trifling bitch.
Yeah. Only 17 of those things are true.
Yeah, well, we all know you're a trifling bitch. Anyway, Brandon, how are you doing this week? It's been a whole week.
Oh, I'm doing so fantastic.
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad to hear that. You want to know what, Brandon? I haven't had my computer for a whole week.
Oh my god. Living in the Stone Age for a week?
Girl, okay, so I had a friend come over, and I've been playing around with like 100 gigabytes of date, like of space for a really long time. So I'd have to like...
100 gigs?
Dude, I know it sounds like a lot, but it's really not. You know, back in the
no,
PSP
it doesn't.
Days,
it doesn't sound like a lot.
Back in the PSP days, we paid like $100 for one gig, but like... Man, I have to like uninstall games to reinstall what I want to play at the moment. It was a mess. So,
oh man.
Yeah, my friend came over and he was like, "Oh, I'll get this fixed up." Well, he didn't get it fixed up. He broke it. Which is okay. Like he lives in a different state though. So I was like, "Take everything. He likes to build computers. He's going to fix it up." So he was supposed to come back last night, but I think he's going to be here sometime this morning, probably while we're recording, which is fine, to deliver my computer.
Yeah, just in time.
But it's got more storage in it now, so I'm a happy camper. I was like, just please don't lose any of my podcasting stuff. That's all I care about on the computer. That's all I care about is the podcast.
You're going to lose all my beautiful voice files.
Dude, if we have to re-record The Secret again, oh boy. It's not going to be anywhere
no,
near
we'll,
as funny.
We'll go back and we'll have to re-record episode one.
Yeah, start
Phantom
from the beginning.
Cab. We lost everything. Spotify lost it too.
Yep. So that's been my week. I should be back and better than ever soon, but I'm recording on Kim's nice. Laptop. So if you hear some noises in the background that aren't usually there, I will try to eliminate them. But you know.
Yeah, we'll forgive you for this one.
Thank you. You want to know what the best part, though, is that I didn't have to do many notes this week because we're doing the wrap up. So I was like,
yeah,
that's fine.
That's pretty decent timing.
Yeah, right? I was like, thank you.
If your computer is going to be out of commish, then it might as well be during one of these wrap ups.
Exactly. Yeah, because we get questions in from people. So basically they do the work for us and then we just get to
yes,
write
they provide the content.
That's great. But how was your week, Brandon? Did you do anything mega awesome?
Oh, no, not yet.
Oh, okay.
Not yet, because I'm gonna go see Barbie.
I haven't seen Barbie yet.
Oh my god, good. So you can't spoil it for me, because no. I don't want any spoilers.
Okay, I won't spoil Barbie. Who are you going with? Are you going with Becca?
Yeah, I'm going with the fam.
Oh my god, you have to let me know everything about it. And by that, just tell me how you
like
it.
I will. Okay. I'll tell you every single detail. You won't have to see it after I tell you.
Oh, okay. Well, we might as well do a pop points on it, right?
All right.
Where you could just tell me scene by scene what happens, and I'll be like, okay, I'll go see it.
Yeah, line by line. I'll just read the script to you.
Oh, please do. Yes. Tell me everything about the gauze, you know? Well, Brandon, we have a pretty big episode today. We got lots of stuff to talk about. You want to just dive in with some questions?
Sure. All what? Right. Do the people want to know?
Well, I asked everybody. I was like, please, people, help me. Help me.
Please.
Please. Please make our podcast.
I don't want to write any notes. Please.
Yeah, pretty much. That's how I worded it. I made a video and everything on Instagram. If you ever
have
any questions.
I know, I saw it.
You know, we're always accepting questions, even though I'll probably lose them by the time it's time for a season wrap up. But you can message us on Instagram.
Especially if you put them on your computer.
Yeah, I know, right? I was like, oh, man, was there any on the computer I'm going to forget? But I think I got them all. But yeah, you can message us on Instagram, on, I guess, Twitter if you use it still. But, you know, Threads, TikTok, YouTube, I'm all over the place. We got our podcast on it all.
You're everywhere, man.
So, yeah, I got some questions here. Honey, do you have any questions while you're in here? You have any questions?
No. Oh, just put me right on the spot.
Yeah.
Any off-the-cuff questions?
Yeah, now's your time to shine, sweetheart.
Hurry up. TikTok, TikTok.
She doesn't have any questions. Okay. Get out of here. Love you, honey. So Mr. Normal, he asked our first question from Instagram, and he wants to he wants to know, it's a podcasting question, what's the best and worst part about recording a podcast?
Oh, we've already said the worst part. It's writing the notes.
Well, writing the notes does suck, but also social media upkeep is pretty awful sometimes. It takes up a lot of time. Oh. Not going to lie, you guys.
That's not part of recording the podcast.
I'm just going to say, like,
that's part of becoming famous.
Okay, well, we are totally on our way to becoming total fames, but yeah, I think, in my opinion, creating the content for social media is the hardest, just because, like, it's so hit and miss. You know, you spend a lot of time on a video, because sometimes I go into DaVinci and I make, you know, all the subtitles, which takes a lot of time, and lining it up with the voices and blah, blah, blah. It's hard. It's hard to do, and it's fun to do sometimes, but if you don't get much payoff from it, if people aren't looking at it, like, what's the fucking point, you know? I could just slap on any old video, and then sometimes it gets, like, 1,000 views. I have one with Katie Seagal on it that has, like, 15,000 views on Instagram. Most of them get, like, 100. And it's hard. But you got to do it, because you never know. One person might see it and be like, oh, I think I'm going to check out this podcast.
Yeah. I ran a blog for quite a few years, and it never got a lot of views, but I always told myself, like, it doesn't matter. Like, the joy you get out of creation is, you know, enough to keep me going.
Yeah.
But at some point, it's like, all right, I got other things to do.
Yeah.
But
I mean, look, when we started the podcast, we had that same idea in mind. Like, hey, if nobody listens, at least we had fun doing it, which is still the case. Like, I don't mind.
Yeah, definitely. Like, we're just talking to each other. We'll talk to each other anyway, whether anyone's listening or not.
Right. But I mean, we're over 100,000 listens now. I think we're doing really good, especially for such an indie small podcast with not the biggest following. I mean, horror anthology is great and stuff, but you got to find the right people on it.
We say this every time, but, like, I'm amazed anyone listens.
I know.
If you're listening to this right now, like, oh my God.
First of all, huge thank you. But yeah, anytime anybody messages me, I love to see it, by the way. It makes my day so much brighter. When they're like, oh my God, I love your podcast. I'm like, shut up. Nuh-uh. Like, us?
That old thing?
Yeah. It's great. The best part about podcasting, I mean, what we're doing right now is my favorite, is doing the recordings. They're a lot of fun. I mean, all the work afterwards with the editing and stuff. I like doing that, too. I think it's fun. What about you, Brandon? Yeah,
what's your fun to make part? Stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I like talking about stuff with you.
Yeah. Watching.
I've been doing it for over 20 years, and I still like doing it.
Oh, my gosh. Me, too. I have to say, one of my new favorite things is the plot points. You know, I know they're I know that they're Patreon exclusive, so they're behind a paywall. But I do love talking with you off the cuffs about movies for like 20 minutes at a time. And I can't wait to record one today with you, actually.
Yeah, it's fun to just talk about movies.
Talking. Well, Matt on Instagram wants to know, why do you hate on The Tale of the Misfortune Cookie from Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Because it's bad.
Well, Brandon, The Tale of the Misfortune Cookie is basically a meme at this point. Whenever I do my watch parties, people pop in. They're like, oh, are we watching Tale of Misfortune Cookie? It's mostly Matt. It's spread to other people now. When I go to Twitch, like when I'm live on Twitch, people are all like, so do you like Misfortune Cookie? And I'm like, oh my God, you guys. I do have sound bites from the Tale of Misfortune Cookie on there. And I think we both try to say what's the hubba at least once an episode. I've forgotten a few times, so I'm sure people are going to be like, what the fuck? But it's hard. It's hard to, like, slip that in there sometimes. You have to remember, and it's, remembering is the hardest part.
Yeah. It's given us some great moments and lines.
It has. I think I did a watch party last year for Matt's birthday, actually, for the Tale of the Misfortune Cookie. I plan on doing it again. His birthday's in October, so we'll do another Tale of the Misfortune Cookie eventually. And the episode has actually kind of grown on me. Don't tell Matt. I don't mind it
Don't
anymore.
Tell me.
I know. Look. Sometimes, like, I don't know if it's Stockholm Syndrome or what, but sometimes when you watch it a couple of times over and over again, you're like, oh, okay, maybe it's not so bad. Teresa's got some pretty great purple hair.
Yeah, she's got some beautiful hair. Luckily, I can say I've only seen it twice, so it hasn't had a chance to grow on me yet, because I won't give it that chance. But, yeah.
Maybe someday. Vicky wants to know, how old were you when you first saw Tales from the Crypt? Well, I didn't actually start watching it until like now, so 34.
Yeah, but 34.
I did watch a couple of episodes when I was younger. I have seen Dead Right. I did watch that episode. I remember vividly watching it when I was a child, probably like 8 years old, maybe. It was on Fox one time and I watched it. That's really the only episode that I watched, though, I think.
How long ago was it that we watched In All Through the House together?
Oh, right. That was probably like 2010, 20... No, wait. Yeah, maybe... I don't know. You were in the house that was close to my house at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, when... I'll say about 2010-ish.
Yeah, because you came back from Louisiana. Yeah, let's say 2010.
All right. So I was like 21 years old.
Ugh. Them's was the days. All right, Brandon. So for our next question, we got one from Chef Boomer on Instagram. He asks, right. Besides Corman's Calamity, could you see any Tales from the Crypt as any Goosebumps or Are You Afraid of the Dark episodes?
Oh, that's a good question.
Indeed. Yes. I can think of one off the top of my head.
Okay.
Which is The Secret. That is such an Are You Afraid of the Dark or Goosebumps episode. Maybe that's why I liked it so much. I don't know. I like kids being, you know, the victors here. But, you know, take out the gore of the woman's throat getting ripped off and bam, you got a Goosebumps episode.
Yeah, I think The Secret is definitely Goosebumps more than Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good one. I immediately think of only Sin Deep because it's so much like Vacant Lot or something already.
Right.
It definitely seems more Are You Afraid of the Dark. You just have to, you know, cut out a few trifling bitches. Boom. Here or there.
Trifling out of here.
Yeah, maybe make the protagonist not a prostitute. Maybe, yeah. I don't know what the kid equivalent of that is.
I couldn't tell you either, actually. How about
hall
this?
Hall monitor?
Yeah, I was going to say, there was a Netflix TV series where they exploited little girls that were dancing. How about one of those girls? Boom.
Oh, that sounds awful. Okay.
Yeah, terrible, right? what other ones here? That might be it. Those might be all of them.
I could see something like For Crying Out Loud. You know, Are You Afraid of the Dark had Gilbert Gottfried in there. So, like, you know, some other comedian just coming in and yucking it up for 20 minutes.
Yeah, Joey from Full House.
Yeah, he just comes in and be like, oh, you're being bad. Cut it out. And then...
Yep. And then the kid's like, I'm going crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. The collection, no, that's not bad. That's too much.
No.
No, that's probably about it, actually. Everything else has either death or zombies. And Are You Afraid of the Dark with, like, no zombies, you guys.
Yeah, they had some kind of, like, no zombie rule.
Yeah, they were like, let's tease them with zombie dice, but let's not give them zombies.
Yeah, till Reanimator happens. Full... shebang.
Next question, Brandon. Amy from Pop Culture Retrospective, she wants to know, what legacy do you think Mew Mew has left behind?
Mew Mew lives on in our hearts.
Mew Mew should be a t-shirt, but I'm too lazy to make one, but I love Mew Mew.
All right, let's talk about that later. Put okay. A pin in that.
But yeah, we'll talk about it again, Amy. ZeroCry90 wants to know, if you were Ulrich the Undying, what creative way would you choose to end your life in front of an enduring circus crowd? Well, let's see what ones did he use. He used drowning. He was buried alive, which would have been boring to watch.
Electrocuted.
Electrocuted. He got shot through the heart.
Hung.
He got
hanged.
Hung. Yep. Yeah, he was hung, man. and then we got watched him get into a car crash. He got shot by the doctor, and then he got stabbed by his girlfriend.
Those are all good ones.
The only one they didn't really do, and I wouldn't want to do this, would be to fall from a really like tall height and then die.
Yeah, from a spectator's perspective, like that's a good one. Mm-hmm. If you're there to watch somebody die, then you're already a freak. So
yeah,
you know, compared to watching somebody get buried alive, that's spectacular. The only other thing would be like bringing in animals, which you probably could do back then.
Right.
Like nowadays, you couldn't just have some,
get stomped on by an elephant.
Apart by a pack of wolves.
Yeah. I think that as long as you don't do something like that dismembers you, you should be fine.
Yeah.
Because my first thought was an explosion, but like that's probably, you can't really come back from that.
Yeah, all the pieces of you all over the place. That'd be like the end of the Iron Giant, maybe.
Right. Yeah. They all just like magnetize together, right?
Yeah.
Nita A. Nicole wants to know, which series have you guys had the most fun recording so far? I like all of them. I think they've all been fun.
I like all of them, of course.
You're so vain.
I think I've done a great job talking about all of them, and nothing else matters. No. Goosebumps, I enjoyed talking about because it's something that I already enjoyed, and I'm glad you got to see it. And Tales from the Crypt is good so far because it's something I haven't seen, and I'm experiencing it all anew. But Are You Afraid of the Dark? Just, it's like a sweet spot of, it was new to me, and it's something I wish I'd watched when I was a kid. And also, like, there is just more of a cheesiness and bad actors and things that I could laugh about and enjoy even today.
Yeah.
That I just really, really liked.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, Are You Afraid of the Dark was fun because I was introducing you to a show that I loved growing up. Goosebumps was fun because you were introducing me to a show that you grew up with. And then Tales from the Crypt is cool because we're both experiencing it for the first time. I think the dynamic of the podcast is a lot different than when we started, and I love that. I love how we have evolved. Goosebumps, I mean, Are You Afraid of the Dark is always going to be probably my favorite, just because there's so much nostalgia in it for me. I love the lines. I love the just the stupidness of some of the episodes. But again, you know, we started off, when we started the show off, we like, you know, we were all like smug about it, you know, like, oh, this kid, haha. And then I think in season two, we started to just really fall in love with the show all over again and found qualities of all the episodes that we really enjoyed and kind of moved it more towards like a TV and movie kind of critique-y show instead of just making fun of it, which I think people enjoy more too because they also love the shows. And if we can put in like a little Easter egg of what happened in the show, or, you know, what we think actually happened kind of thing, you know, evolving the story while we're talking about it, I think those are the best parts.
Yeah. And we've been doing the show long enough now that I'm now nostalgic for our discussions of these old shows. It's like,
yeah,
remember 4 years ago when we talked about that episode? That was fun.
Yeah, I agree.
Time's funny.
And then we did it all through the pandemic and everything. Meredith on Instagram wants to know, what storyline of any series could you see yourself in and why?
I mean, four-sided triangle. I could grind up against a scarecrow.
Look, only if it's the scarecrow from Are You Afraid of the Dark or Goosebumps, though, right?
Yeah, it's got to be one of them good scarecrows, though. Come on.
You know, I could see you being a trifling bitch. Well, I think Tales from the Crypt has a little bit more, like, centered in reality kind of shows, like The Sacrifice, for example. But if I'm going with, like, a fantastical kind of episode, I think Magician's Assistant would be a fun one to live through. I could handle that guy. You know, I'd shoot him back into a mirror or whatever, into the void.
Easy peasy.
And then I'd have magical powers.
Pinball Wizard.
I was going to say Pinball Wizard.
That's an easy answer. That would just be fun as shit to be inside this crazy, like, video gamey situation.
Sure, but with a caveat that it's not eternity. How about that?
I don't know.
Just in a mall forever.
With or without.
Gray zombie dudes. I don't know about that. I wouldn't want to live in The Secret because they have vampires and werewolves. Maybe.
I mean, that's just
Twilight.
How
about this, Brandon? How about this? Teacher's pet. Teacher's pet, Brandon. Live in a world where animal hybrids exist? I'd be fine with that.
Sure. Flies with men's faces on it. Sure.
Yeah, it sucked.
That wouldn't change my life that much. Like, every once in a while, I'd just be like, ugh. Look at that fly.
I have a bug zapper that I use that literally blasts the flies out of the sky. So, I mean, it would be murder, but... she has another question here. Of the Tales from the Crypt that we've seen so far, which do you think has the most creative ending?
They've all got kind of Twilight Zone-y twist endings, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I've said The Secret like 3 times already, but I do like the ending of The Secret because the kid wins. I think that's great.
That is a really good one.
I'll say Collection Completed was probably one of my favorite endings too. Just because it's so stupid. And Roy's face when he sees...
Oh my god. It's burned into my brain.
Yeah. When he sees Jonas in his stitched up face and he makes it... I'm like, yeah. I live for that. I think we have one more from Instagram from Rachel, who is with us for cutting cards. She asked, we've had scarecrows, hussies, trifling bitches, gold diggers, and two-faced men. What are some other monsters or monsters people you're hoping to see next? More zombies.
I mean, it's a safe bet we'll get more zombies and more gold diggers for sure.
I'll take them.
Like, what else is there? We haven't had a Bigfoot. Get us some big feats in here.
Yeah. I would take more classic monsters. I'll take another vampire episode. I bet you they can do something real fun with vampires. Maybe werewolves. I think those are what I want to see the most.
I'd like a better mummy.
Yeah, I want a better mummy,
that actually
too.
Does mummy stuff rather than just sit there.
Yeah, sit there and make a damn baby.
Which is hard work.
Yeah, right. Especially when you're dead. I wouldn't mind. One of my favorite things is like shape-shifting monsters. You know, the ones that like appear as what you fear the most kind of thing. I think they could have fun with that too.
Yeah, that would be cool.
The other part of her question asks, is Crypt Keeper your bestie? He is our bestie. Yes.
Yeah.
He's everybody's bestie.
Yeah, Crypt Keeper is our bestie. Arlstein's your boy. And Gary is Gary.
Yeah. Gary's your buddy too. He tells you spooky stories.
Gary's there.
Now TJ, he emailed me and he asks, well, he says, not exactly a question, but I just want to assign certain Goosebumps or Crypt episodes to Are You Afraid of the Dark storytellers. So, like, my first thought was, like, Corman's Calamity being a Gary kind of episode.
Sure.
What other ones do you think? Well, Kiki, I believe she told Vacant Lot, so she can have only Sindeep.
Yeah, people would be like, Kiki, have you told this one before?
Oh my god, Brandon. David would totally have, like, Lover Come Hack to Me and Till Death.
Yes.
Fucking weirdo. He'd be like, and then Kristen, he strangles his wife, Kristen. David, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Go home.
I feel like The Thing from the Grave would be a Gary episode.
You think?
It's kind of, I mean, it's a little bit like Dark Dragon, kind of, a little bit.
I don't know. That seems like a Betty Ann to me.
Yeah, you're right. It is much more of a Betty Ann episode. And, you know, Betty Ann did have Ghastly Grinner, so maybe Corman's Calamity would be hers.
See, does anyone end up in a black void at the end of Tales from the Crypt?
Not yet. We'll probably get there, though, right?
I'm sure. Oh, for sure.
I think that Collection Completed would be a Frank story. I feel like he'd have the one about destroying and taxidermying animals.
Yeah. And at the end, he'd be like, dude, are you okay?
He's like, shut up. I'm going to college now. I'm out of here. Maybe like Mute Witness to Murder with like the family loving each other so much. Maybe that could be Sam. I think that I think that one would probably be like a Sam episode, because like the ones where like
the
couples really enjoy each other and such.
I feel like Stig would have like television terror.
I could see that.
Because he sucked as a character, but for some reason he told great stories.
He had two stories and they were both real good.
Yeah. So, spoilers for later. Television Terror, good episode.
TJ also wants to know, which wraparound segments are best? The Midnight Society, The Crypt Keeper, or Ya Boy, Arlstein? That's an easy one.
Okay, I love Crypt Keeper, and The Midnight Society is iconic, but goddamn do I love me Arlstein's awkward, horrible act. This story is about some shit I wrote. I don't know.
Look, he's a boy, okay? I love Arlstein. I love seeing him. I was so upset that he wasn't in seasons 3 and 4.
I know.
Because I just wanted his cameo, Brandon. Why couldn't he be like, hey, what's up, everybody? This one's about some animals.
I don't know. Get him in the studio for like 10 minutes. He could wrap up an entire season's worth. You know he wasn't doing multiple takes with
right,
that performance.
Yeah. Remember when he was all like, I got this mace that's gift wrapped. Like, Arlstein, I love you.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, I agree. Arlstein is my boy, and he could, I mean, if he like appeared every morning and told me what my day was going to be about, I'd be like, I love you. That's all the questions we have, Brandon. Do you want to move on to rankings and such?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So, obviously, we'd love to do our top 5 and bottom 5 episodes. I think we should save that for last, because that's the reason for the season, after all. So, let's start with a fun one, Brandon. Are there any quotes from Tales from the Crypt so far for the first 2 seasons that really stood out to you? Like, are there any ones in particular that you just love?
I mean, yeah, there's one we've quoted like 5 times already.
Which one?
You trifling old bitch.
Oh, yeah. Trifling old bitch, Brandon. That's you all over. One of my favorites is actually just Katie Skull's laugh. Just like, I love it.
Yeah. Put that on a quotes page.
One of the things, so Brandon, you know, I stream on Twitter. No, I don't. I stream on Twitch. What the fuck am I talking about? I use voice clips from episodes. And I have a couple from Tales from the Crypt. I need to update it some more. I'm just lazy. So sorry about that. But one of them is, hurry up, you big old Santa. I love that.
That's a fun delivery one. Of it.
Oh, that little girl. Get up here, you fat ass. Another one, too, is the old lady from Dig That Cat, He's Real Gone, where she's like, you bet your ass I'm ready. I love that old lady.
Those are good ones. Another one that stuck in my mind is 47 goddamn years.
Yes. Yeah, I need to make a clip of that one because that is a great quote. I love it. One for me is probably a really small one, but in Till Death, I think that was the episode, when Richard is up on the stairs and Alan comes up and he's like, hey, Alan, we got a secret for you. And he's like, I love surprises, you know?
Yes.
I love surprises.
That's great.
That is a good one. You know, season 2, I don't think of many quotes from it. That wasn't quite as quotable as season 1 to me.
Are all those from season 1? Wow. They are.
Most of them were, yeah. I feel like Judy, You're Not Yourself Today had a really great one with Francis Bay being like, I can't wait to have you as ass or whatever. That was a good one. I think that also from Television Terror, you know, when she's all like, you gotta have that killer instinct. I thought that was a pretty good one too.
I'm really trying to think. Like, all the ones that are seared in my brain are from those first 6 episodes.
I know, weird, right?
That is weird.
I think that Demi Moore telling Jeffrey Tambor that he's got putrid breath and stuff was pretty good too, but I don't remember the whole quote from it. When she went in, yeah. When she was like, I'm out of here, don't even think about killing me.
I don't remember any specific quotes, but just William Hickey's voice in the switch.
Oh my god. Yes.
I'm beautiful now. Date me, I'm gorgeous.
Yeah.
What a treasure. I love William Hickey. Those are some good ones, Brandon. How about our favorite Crypt Keeper intros? So in season 1, Crypt Keeper was a little reserved. He was a little creepier. In season 2, he was like, hey, I'm with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. Season 1, he just kind of sat behind his little desk and was like, hey, here's the story. Second one, he's kicking up his feet. He's mm-hmm. working out. He's playing basketball. Like, he's all over the place.
He's got a baby. He's dressed up as a doctor.
He was a baby. Like, it's crazy.
Do you have, like, a favorite Crypt Keeper intro or anything like that? Like, I'll just say my favorite. My favorite thing, Brandon, is when we sneak up on the Crypt Keeper and he's like, oh, it's you guys. Like, it's my favorite thing.
Yeah. It's like, and action. What? I didn't know you were here.
Crypt Keeper, we're the whole time.
Arnold Schwarzenegger being on there was very memorable.
Yeah, iconic even.
And him like yelling at Crypt Keeper to fucking come on, let's pick up these weights.
Yeah, pump it up. What do you think, you're a baby? That's later. The drawing of Crypt Keeper in Corman's Calamity was pretty cool too. Like, just seeing the artistry behind stuff. So the Crypt Keeper drawing himself in a frame of a comic was cool.
Yeah, he's a good artist.
He was playing basketball at one time. Remember that?
Yes.
Did you already mention that? You might have. I'm sorry.
I did.
I'm the worst.
It's just great.
Yeah, all around, Crypt Keeper has some really good intros. I can't wait to see how stupid it gets later on, though. You know that they're just going to go all out. By season 7, he's going to be, like, ridiculous. I can't wait.
Yeah, they're going to run out of ideas. He's going to be, like, doing his taxes or just eating yogurt. Like, oh, what's up, guys?
Yeah, I would go so far as to say they, like, ran out of ideas already. But we got like 5 more seasons of this.
Yeah, we're just in some dusty old basement. Like, there's only so much you can do.
Hey guys, I'm in mom's basement this week. Here's some stories, kids. Oh man, wouldn't it be great if Arl Stein appeared in one of the intros?
Yes.
That'd be so incredible. Or anybody, really. I just want more guests. Maybe like some Stephen King or anybody. Anybody. Any other director. Of all the horror directors, we got Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Classic. Well, Brandon, how about... We'll keep on the positive side for another question here. Who was your favorite hero in all the Tales from the Crypt episodes?
You'll have
to forgive me, because I don't remember names, but...
I went through the list of episodes, and I was like, all right, who's actually not terrible?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, almost all of the episodes, like, the protagonist is also kind of a piece of shit.
Yeah.
The only ones I could think of who weren't, really, are Susie from Mute Witness to Murder.
Yeah.
And, you know... Theodore from The Secret, because he's, you know, a literal child and he hasn't had time to be horrible yet. And Mary Jo from Four-Sided Triangle, because she's like, you know,
yeah, she's
a captive, so
right,
you know, she's sympathetic in that way. Everyone else kind of sucks.
Yeah, you're right. There's not a lot of like good main characters. I mean, I guess there's Frank from My Brother's Keeper. He wasn't bad.
I mean, he was better than his brother.
Yeah, right. I would say like Anita from Collection Completed. She was good. I liked Anita. She fed her husband dog food or cat food.
I mean, Bobby from Finning Punishment.
Yeah, I love Bobby. He's probably my favorite.
Yeah. Probably the best for sure, but just I don't know.
He didn't deserve any of that.
Still hurts to think about him.
I know, and yet we're gonna talk about it again soon.
Yes, we will.
Who else was good? No, because everybody seemed to have like ulterior motives. Like Lover Come Hack to Me, the main character wanted to marry her for money, and that was it. And then he died anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Dead Rights, Demi Moore was kind of a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Chop Poker, like cutting cards, both of them were shits. I don't know, maybe the guy from The Thing from the Grave, but again, he was very forward in his advances. He was kind of a shit, but he did protect the girl.
Also, he was possibly exploiting the people of the island,
right,
and taking away their land.
Yeah, The Thing from the Grave was the one with the amulet, and then what was the voodoo one called? Was that Till Death? Am I thinking wrong?
Yeah.
I have these wrong, so I'm sorry. I didn't do as much research on these. They are kind of all a blur to me a little bit, so it's a little different than Goosebumps and Are You Afraid of the Dark, where I could pinpoint things a little better. So this is sloppy. My apologies for everybody involved. let's move on, Brandon. That's like literally all the good characters.
Yeah, there's not many.
Corman from Corman's Calamity, he was a, you know, he should have just ran with Mildred. Mildred was great.
Yeah, he's a cheater.
What do you think are some of the best or worst villains of Tales from the Crypt seasons 1 and 2?
I know the worst villain.
Yes, me too.
I'm trying to think of the best villain. I mean, the worst villain, let's just talk about him right now.
Let's do it.
Is Ezra from Fitting Punishment.
Thornberry.
Elezra Thornberry. the worst villain we've ever seen.
And the greatest thing about him is he was so well acted that you just love to hate him, because every step he was a piece of garbage. And just a testament to the actor's skill. I mean, he was amazing in it. How can somebody make us hate them so much, you know?
Yeah, he's good at being bad.
I also think that Mr. Sickle from Lower Berth was a piece of shit, because he was whipping Enoch over and over again, like Santa Claus does to his reindeer.
Yes.
Yeah. The guy from, what was the Vacation-y one? What was that one called?
Vacation-y.
They are all Till Death to me, okay? I'm sorry. Oh, I do want to say, for my favorite characters too, I think that William Hickey, I think he was pretty good. Carlton Webster, I don't think he was the worst we've seen. Like, his motives were vain or whatever, but I thought he was a pretty good guy.
I mean, yeah, he's not the worst. He's just some old dude.
Three's a crowd.
Trying to buy a woman.
Right, right. Three's a crowd. I think that the character of Richard is up. I don't think he's quite as bad as Ezra, but he is pretty bad too.
Yeah, until the end, he's not so bad, and he's actually kind of sympathetic.
I thought he was annoying.
But, yeah, by the end, he's awful.
Yeah, inexcusable. Killing people, strangling them, dragging them through. Like, Jesus.
Stealing people's white coats. Like, come on.
Mitch Bruckner. As Miguel Ferrer. I'm just slaughtering names here. He's another character you just love to hate. Miguel Ferrer and pretty much everything he plays in. And I base that off of Blank Check as well as The Thing from the Grave.
Yeah, he's great.
He's wonderful. And the Colberts. I don't think I like the Colberts so much, Brandon. Like, they locked that child into a room and fed him nothing but sweets and then planned on killing him.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
I'd say it's bad.
All right, hot take from Cortland.
I think those are some of the best and worst villains. I think what it boils down to is we don't like it when people abuse people, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to watch and it's not good. But that's what we get in Tales from the Crypt. We only got Betty Ann ain't telling stories about people whipping people. I haven't read the Goosebumps book yet where a kid gets trapped in a room and is fed sweets all day, every day. I'm sure there is one, though.
Yeah, there's got to be one of them.
TJ, I'll chime in. Let us know, TJ. I think we're at the creme de la creme, Brandon. I think we got
all right.
One more thing to discuss besides what we're going to watch next week, and that's going to be ranking. Now, there's a lot of episodes. Again, Are You Afraid of the Dark was easy. There was only 13 episodes a season. Goosebumps, it got a lot harder because there was like 22 to 25 episodes or whatever a season. We combined two seasons together, so we got a lot of episodes to cover. But I think we should just do top five, bottom five.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay. Do you want to start with our bottom five?
Sure.
Okay. What do you think was the worst? I want to ask you, Brandon.
Absolute worst?
Yeah. What episode would you just not want to watch again?
Fitting Punishment.
Yeah, me too, Brandon. It's for a different reason, really. I just can't watch it again.
Yeah, that's me. It's my number one worst episode, and it's just because I don't want to watch it ever again.
But it was a good episode.
It was well acted, and it's a good story, but I don't want to watch it again.
Yeah, I had to do it for the watch party again, and I was like, oof. Yeah.
Just like I've never seen the episode of Futurama Jurassic Bark a second time.
Right.
That's can't do it. Dog. Won't do it. But from my memory, it had some funny jokes. I don't know. I'll never know.
That's okay, Brandon. Yeah, Fitting Punishment, I agree with you. I don't want to watch it again. Not that it was bad, but I can't. Other than that, the next worst episode for me, I'm not sure on the ranking exactly, but I know Lower Birth is probably pretty far down there for me. And that's just because I found the episode very boring.
Yeah, I've got that one on my list as well. It was pretty boring, and also it's just like a story I don't want. I don't want that.
Well, we said this during the episode. This is one that you would expect from like the sixth or seventh season. Like, they're out of ideas. How about a origin story for the Crypt Keeper for some reason that doesn't really feature the Crypt Keeper almost at all? Just kind of there.
But they're like almost starting the show with that. Like, yeah, you've been wanting to know for weeks about the Crypt Keeper.
It's just a weird one, because we had Corman's Calamity and then we had Lower Birth, and it's like both of these are very late in the show's material, in my opinion.
Yeah,
almost jumping the shark, if you will. Not really, though. They were fine. I just didn't really care for it. If it would have focused more on maybe Baby Crypt Keeper a bit more instead of Enoch, who I don't care about, a mummy I don't care about, the side, I mean, I guess it's the main story of the doctor bringing it in, and I just don't care about it.
Yeah, I agree.
What else did you not really care for, Brandon?
Another episode that I didn't really care for is The Sacrifice.
Oh, right. Yeah, that one is definitely
not for being
for
like extraordinarily terrible or anything. It's just kind of boring.
Mm-hmm. I agree. The greatest part about that was seeing the dad from Smart House shirtless.
Yeah, that's what we signed up for, and it delivered. But other than that, just forgettable.
When we first got into Tales from Crypt, I was like, I'm not going to do this show unless we see the dad from Smart House without a shirt on. And then we did. So I was like, all right.
Luckily.
Yeah, that one was a stupid episode. Kim Delaney was in it. I like Kim Delaney, but I don't know. I didn't really want to see somebody licking her back crack. And yet,
yeah, it happened. Kim Delaney.
Got her. Another episode that I didn't really care for, Brandon, Lover Come Hack to Me.
Yeah. Yeah, it had some funny parts, but... And it did have some butt cheeks, but...
Oh, right, the butt cheeks.
Forgot about yeah, them. It was weird.
The part I didn't like was the main character. Well, I didn't like any of the characters in that episode, actually. And I really hated how she was like, and the baby was only this big. And I was like, well, now you're in the bottom, girl.
That was fucking weird. Yeah. Weirdest characters, she's definitely on there.
She's so stupid. I don't know if you had that in your bottom five, but I just, if there's another episode that I just don't really care to watch again, it's going to be that one.
See, I forgot about that one. So
there we go. I knew
that
you
says
did.
Something, I guess.
Yeah.
One that I have in my bottom five, which you may not share this opinion, but I have Ventriloquist Dummy.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly just because I was disappointed.
Right. You see my that Bobcats own, in an episode.
Yeah,
and
my own hype set me up for failure on that one.
Me too. It's okay. We got like 5% Bobcat voice, and I want more. I want more out of Bobcat. I want him to be like, you know, all over the place.
Yeah. And the whole, like, the reveal of the weirdo friggin' puppet
Mortimer,
hand
yeah.
thing was just like, oh my god, this is so dumb.
Yeah, I agree with you. Ventriloquist Dummy's in the bottom for me as well. The coveted last spot for bottom, Brandon. What else did you just not really care for?
See, I've got... Dig That Cat, He's Real Gone.
In your bottom, Brandon?
In my bottom, yeah.
But
not for any, like egregious kind of reason. It's just, eh.
Wow. I would have, I like that episode. I think it's because of Mr. Pants's, like, smirk that he gives. I don't know, I just think it's so charming. His smirk alone saved it from the bottom for me.
That's good.
It was a little bit of a rush together episode, though. Like, the idea behind it all is just so stupid. Smashing cat brain into a people brain.
That's like its best part. It's so dumb.
The freak show, I'm just not a big fan of like circusy freak show centered episodes, though, I guess.
Yeah, we got two of them on my bottom five.
Two for two. I will say, though, like, our bottom four, I think the rest are a little bit, are quite a bit higher, though. Like, we haven't had a lot of terrible episodes, I don't think.
Yeah, like even my like most terrible episode on this list is one that's only bad because it's dark.
I also think that like something like Four-Sided Triangle is kind of boring. I did appreciate it more on a rewatch because like I knew what was going to be happening, so I felt like Patricia Arquette's character, like she knew what she was doing the whole time rather than just stumbling through things. Like,
yeah,
I think it's better with that in mind rather than this just happens kind of thing.
Definitely. I almost put that on my list, like similar to Ventriloquist Dummies, because I set myself up for like, ooh, scarecrows. And then turns out to be the lamest fucking scarecrow ever. But yeah, Patricia Arquette, like I really like her in that episode.
She is great. You almost see a whole butt cheek in that one, too. It's great.
Yes, bonus points.
I think that's a pretty good like bottom five list. I'm sure people won't agree with us on some things, and that's totally fine. We are.
Yeah, based on all the IMDb ratings for these episodes, like no one agrees with me about any of these, so whatever.
Well, let's talk about some good here, Brandon. What was your favorite five episodes from Tales from the Crypt?
All right, I'm going to start at number five here.
Okay.
And I'm going to say Cutting Cards.
Ooh, that was a fun one.
Yeah, that's why. It's just a fun, short little story. With, like, weirdly high stakes, but it's just this dumb little contest between two dipshits.
Yes, it's fun to watch them destroy themselves.
And Lance Henriksen is fucking cool.
Yeah, Bishop, love him. I gotta say, I think that episode does a great job of storytelling and building tension, and the stakes get higher and higher. It's pretty gory. I mean, if you're not comfortable watching people's fingers get chopped off, which I don't know why anybody would be.
Yeah, why are you comfortable watching that?
But I liked it. I think it's a fun episode. Plus, we had Rachel on for that one, and she's great. Let me see. I'm trying to think about, because I'm pretty sure I know which ones I liked the most.
Okay.
I want to say, I don't know, do you have The Secret in your top five?
No. But I do. I did like The Secret.
I did too. I mean, I talked about it enough already, but I just like, it's kind of our first episode where like the kid's the star, and I don't know if it's just because we watched so much Are You Afraid of the Dark and Goosebumps, but I love to see it. You know what, Brandon? I will confidently say that my fourth favorite episode is Mute Witness to Murder.
Oh, you really liked that one?
I did, and I think it's because of Susan.
Yeah,
kind of in the same vein as The Secret.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's really good, and, you know, I like a good Rear Window style.
Disturbia, if you will.
Yes. The OG.
Yeah, I just like to see, I like to see my final girls be badasses, and she got her moment, and I loved every second of it.
She came out on top.
Trask is a piece of shit. You got the hypodermic needles flying everywhere. It was fun. What's number four for you, though, Brandon?
All right, number four for me is Collection Completed.
Oh, my God, I love that episode.
So fun. So silly. So fucking silly, but, like, fun to watch.
I think everything about that episode. I love how stupid it is. I love Anita and Jonas and Roy and the animals.
Why did the dog have to be animatronic?
Dude, I don't know, but Jonas was so proud of it. It's so dumb.
Why?
Flicking its lights or its eyeballs on and off. What the fuck is going on?
Why? Nobody, there's no market for that.
I just love the part where Anita feeds him the brownie with the pill in it and feeding him the cat food sandwiches and being like, I didn't even know. She's so excited to have him around, but she doesn't know what to do with him. And I just love all of it. I love that episode.
Yeah.
Let's see. Number three, Brandon.
All right. What do you got?
I feel like Corman Calamity is kind of up there for me. I don't know about that one yet.
Okay.
How about you? What's your number three?
My number three is Till Death.
Till Death. Okay. The voodoo zombie one?
Yes. And it's pretty much entirely because of the last 5 minutes.
Those last 5 minutes were really good.
That zombie is so good. And it, like, it changes and gets more decayed. And it's so, so good. Such a good zombie.
Psyche was wonderful in it. Aunt Viv.
After so many years of not getting any zombies, we finally got one where they went all out.
We did.
And it's still only one zombie. But, like, it's a good one.
It is. It's a voodoo zombie, which isn't my typical favorite zombies, but I'm just hungry for zombies in any fashion I can get them.
Yeah.
I agree. I think that Till Death was fun. The setting is cool. I mean, we're in, what is it, Jamaica or the Bahamas? I can't remember. But, you know, it's got a pretty tight story to it. There's some funny stuff, like when he shoots her and then she just gets back up and is like, I just bought this dress. And I don't know. I think it's a good episode, too.
Now, what do you got?
It's going to be Television Terror and All Through the House for me, for the final two.
Yeah, that's my final two. Television Terror number two and All Through the House number one.
Yep. Let's talk about Television Terror. What a great episode that is.
It was literally like a haunted house roller coaster.
It reminded me a little bit of like the haunted house games. Well, no. What was the other one from Goosebumps where they were in the haunted house with the family?
I don't know. That could describe like five different episodes.
I know. The thing that I really liked about Television Terror is that it wasn't just watching him walk through the haunted house. We got like the behind the scenes. This is the making of, you know, we're in the booth telling you when the commercials are going to happen. We're the ones yelling at you that the network wants you to die. You know, like.
Yeah.
It was fun. That you.
It had like, you know, Resident Evil 4 style crazy chainsaw attacks. Mm-hmm. You know, tears with our boy
Trip
passing away, unfortunately. So, like, you laugh, you cried. It's got everything.
You know, one of the best parts about that episode, too, is, like, the kind of, well, it really is just an homage to The Shining. When he opens up, like, the bathroom door and we get the cut of the guy scooting in the bathtub. Yes. And just, like, the visions of the past of, like, people dying and stuff in the house. I think it was just a really, really well-created episode with a pretty tight script in it, and it was great. I love that episode.
Yeah,
I'd watch it again. The one number one for me, though, Brandon, number one for me is season one, episode two, and All Through the House.
Yep. The series started out strong. Mm-hmm. Only the second episode. This is like the most horror movie, just straight kind of horror example that we've got in this show. This is just like a slasher movie in episode form.
You got a little bit of a mix up here too, Brandon, because she, like, you know, kills her husband for the money, so we have to have that, the reason for her dying kind of thing, like, not to feel so bad about the ending of it because she's a shit.
Yeah. But
the screams in it are great. The setting is beautiful. I mean, having it be on like
Christmas Eve and having all that fake snow everywhere and the fake icicles. I love to see it. It's so cozy. Super fake. But you have, like, you know, her calling the police and be like, what, 20 huns now? You know? And then I just have to say, like, the stupidest part to me is her getting locked in that closet, though. Like,
in her own goddamn house. She's like, so what? Stupid. How do I get out of here? I knocked the door knob off. That's not a thing.
No. That's dumb. But, you know, you can tell that she really loves her daughter and is trying really hard to protect her. And, you know, you get one of those dark endings where she just sits there and screams on the staircase.
Yeah, and I like how the Crypt Keeper was even like, don't worry, the kid survived, it's all good.
Yeah, very much reminded me of Dark Music where, you know, Eric at the end was like, he didn't kill his sister, I promise you guys. Like, yeah. Okay, thank you.
All right, pulling your punches at the end, that's fine.
I thought it was great. I think that's a really good top five list.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun with Tales from the Crypt so far, and I'm really excited to see what is coming next. Because I know of one thing, Brandon, which is Meatloaf's ass. We're going to get to see that, and I'm super excited for that. I think we've all been waiting to see that.
The wait is almost over, folks.
But we're going to dive in to the third season from Tales from the Crypt next week. I just want to say thank you to everybody for submitting some questions and being a part of our show and enjoying the crap that we talk about.
Yes. Thank you so much.
You want to find out what season 3 is all about? At least the first episode?
Yeah, I really do. What is it?
Okay, well, the episode name is called Loved to Death.
Okay, so this is another gold digger. Go on.
All right, let me read up this little description here. It's kind of a long one, so hopefully it doesn't spoil everything. But in Los Angeles, aspiring screenwriter Edward Foster from Indiana has a crush on his neighbor, Miranda Singer. However, bimbo Miranda is a gold digger.
Does it really say that?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Who does not give Edward any attention. His unrequited... how do I say that word? Unrequited? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. His unrequited love is noticed by his creepy landlord, Mr. Stranum, who offers Edward a love potion in order to seduce Miranda. Will the potion work? Find out next week on Tales from the Crypt.
Okay.
So, yeah. Gold diggers.
All right.
This is basically Lover Come Hack to Me Again, I think.
We're back with the gold diggers. Like, we got a whole bunch of them in a row, and I was like, oh, man, is that all the show is? But then it kind of moved away from that. But now it's back, and it's better than ever.
It is so better.
Well, we'll see.
I took a look at the cast here. I don't know if I really recognize anybody. Is Mariel Hemingway somebody?
She's somebody. Like, okay. I don't know what she did.
All right. Well, she's in it. And then we also have Andrew McCarthy. I don't know. He's got an IMDb picture.
Is that the guy from Weekend at Bernie's?
God, I hope so. Yes, he is.
Yes, he's from Weekend at Bernie's. I'm excited.
All right. Well, that's next week, Brandon. We will talk about Love to Death. But I'm excited, Brandon. Let's kick it off with season 3. We got some new artwork on the way and everything.
All right. Let's keep it going.
All right. I'm out of here, though, Brandon. I've been up all night. I will talk to you later.
All right. I'll be here.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.